What should I have said?
Was it okay for me to do that?
What was the right way to react?
Was it okay for me to step in? How do I know what was right?
It's a modern dilemma.
Now we have this week's modern dilemma, and it comes from Graham. Graham tells us that he and his wife have been friends with another couple for some years through some shared interests that they have. However, Graham says, we're reluctant to socialise with them as they constantly want to pay or provide for every activity we do together. If we go out for a meal, they insist on paying, even sneaking off to pay at the counter before the meal is finished so we don't get the chance to pay. If we invite them to our house and say we're cooking, they'll turn up with virtually the whole meal and then insist on cleaning up afterwards. We've almost had pushing and shoving over who loads the dishwasher. When we go to their house for a meal, Graham continues, any food or wine we bring is ignored by them, as they always have plenty of everything. They'll then keep bringing out more things for us to eat and drink, and of course not allow us to do any cleaning up. Then they'll put all our contributions back in our bags, including more gifts from them. I appreciate their generosity, says Graham, but I now hate doing any socialising with them because it's so one-sided and I feel like they don't respect our contribution to the relationship. Okay, so there you go. Overly generous friends. That's an interesting problem to have. What would you do about it? You can let us know on Facebook. Or the SMS is 0418 226 576. Here to discuss is Beverly Wang, who hosts the podcast It's Not a Race, and Mark Humphreys, who's a comedian with satirist, really, with The Feed on SBS Viceland. All right, so Beverly, first of all,
Yes.
What is it about this degree of generosity that makes it so uncomfortable, do you think?
Well, I actually am totally not uncomfortable with this. This is very familiar to my life. I just actually wonder, I was reading this dilemma, I thought, are these people Taiwanese? They are telling stories from my childhood. My mother is a very unathletic, late 60s woman, and I have seen her arm wrestling people and chasing them down streets trying to stick cash in their back pockets. So to me, I'm like, what's the dilemma? This sounds wonderful. Can I go on holiday with them?
Yeah. Mark, what about you? Why does generosity make at least Graham, and I think I would agree with him, uncomfortable?
Yes. Well, I guess perhaps it makes us feel inferior, like perhaps our friends don't think that we can afford it or something to that effect. But I must agree with Beverly that these people sound like my kind of people.
Come on, let's go on a cruise.
Can we get in touch? Can we pass on the numbers to me? Because... Yeah, I'm quite an ungenerous person. I'd love to have things paid for by other people. I'm not convinced this is really a dilemma. I mean, these people sound... But the other thing is, like, these people sound more like caterers than friends.
Yeah.
Are you sure you haven't hired caterers and mistaken them for friends?
I would suggest, actually, to Graham, that trick of paying before the meal, excusing yourself, I have to go to the bathroom, stop by the front desk, leave your credit card there. That is a classic. That is a classic trick. That is like 101 of paying for other people's meals. I learned that as a child. I do that. My husband, who is white, has learned that, and now he does it. So, I mean, the only thing that I would say is, it is the art of reciprocity. So
yeah,
you have to have space to allow them.
But this is where
Why doesn't Graham up his game and also
get into the counter to pay first?
Call ahead. Hi, this is Graham. I'm coming in at 7 o'clock for dinner with my friends.
Here's my credit card.
Credit card number now. Do not accept.
Yes, but
that's cool.
Amanda.
Game respects game.
That becomes competitive generosity.
So?
That's weird.
No. Not for many of our cultures, Amanda. It's normal. That's how we share. How we show people how we love each other.
Is it possible that they're overcompensating for previous stinginess? Is this? I know that I'm currently trying to make up for years of being a cheapskate. So maybe there's some sort of backstory here. Mm. I would also take it as a compliment. I mean, they possibly think that you are such good company that they just feel indebted to you.
It could be extreme insecurity.
Yeah,
they could only be friends. We got to make them stay.
They could be self-conscious about their inferior sense of humor or conversational abilities. You're nailing it, Graham. And they owe it to you.
I think I solved it right there. Humphrey. No, you see, you got it.
I think it's about status and power. You see, I think it's about the friends asserting that they have.
Why do we have to put a negative cast on everything, Amanda?
Well, this is. I think I'm taking Graham's part in this. I think these friends are either saying, we've got more money and resources than you, or they're saying, they're asserting their power.
Okay. I mean, I don't know the circumstances. It's true. If you have really different incomes, this could get uncomfortable after a while. But Graham doesn't seem to say this, so we don't know. I think the part about giving the food back when you show up, I've had people try to do that to me, and I felt like, ugh. Like, I'm the person who will sneakily pay a bill. So why are you trying to give me the thing that I just brought to you? No way. Mm. No, you can't do that. So I think there's some lines there. I also wonder whether, I'm not anti-Graham. I want to be very clear. I'm not anti-Graham. I want to help him. Has it ever been raised? Have they ever tried to have that conversation? Be like, hey, you have paid for the last 10 meals. Please allow us to treat you. I don't know if that conversation has been had.
Well, how do you do it? How do you... Beverly, bring in reciprocity if you're constantly wanting to be the general person.
I don't deal with everybody. I read the room. If I'm with friends who also come from a culture of sharing, we're okay. But if you're out with, like, I'm sorry, people maybe of the, you know, not of the ethnic communities, that understanding of reciprocity may not be in place, because I think a lot of cultures have this this hospitality culture. But if you're out with somebody who doesn't come from that kind of hospitality first culture, you may end up, and I've been in a situation here, it's like, oh, I actually paid for that and they never pay, and that feels a bit crap. I'm not going to do it again. But that's my lesson. And I'm not actually walking around throwing dollar bills at all the time. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if we're out with good friends, we're past the point of you know, you're kind of past the point as a grown-up with a job and a salary, hopefully, of looking at the bill and divvying up, oh, well, I had the Coca-Cola, I had the salad, how are you going to split that?
You might as well split it 50-50. There's a way.
Read the room.
That, you know, that, well, stinginess also, you know, is a very unattractive quality. And generosity is definitely something that you want to have among your friends, and you hope that you have it in yourself. Though, Mark, I'm hearing that perhaps you don't.
Yeah, I'm not ever paying for you, Mark Humphreys.
Mark, Beverly, I thought I completely misread the room.
Yeah, well, Mark, in this case, it is... the generosity that's become oppressive, though, for Graham and his wife. I mean, why do you think these friends are so extreme in their generosity?
But doesn't it give you pleasure to be generous?
Yeah.
I think it's possibly...
Well, that's my point, but I'm also trying to suggest that there's a point where it tips over into becoming, as I say, oppressive.
I feel like you're always trying to side with the listener, and I feel like...
How because dare you, presenter Amanda Smith?
I just think there is, you know, a buzz that you get from being generous. And yes, it is unfortunate for Graham, but Graham needs to do what I do and just turn off the voice in your head that feels shame. And just embrace this. And look, and when you can, the other things you could do are things like Scoopon, something where you pay in advance. So it's like you get, you know, you sign up for one of those email things where it's like, oh, dinner for four, you know, and bottle of wine for $99. You buy the voucher.
I've got a voucher burning a hole in my pocket. Let me treat you.
You can't battle with a voucher. So I think if you've got the voucher situation set up, you might be okay there. But I'm also interested in the escalation idea.
Escalation is good.
Yeah, I think if you go really ridiculous, it might it might force them to have a moment of self-awareness and eventually go, oh, this is weird that we've reached this level where we're now, paying for international flights.
Oppressive generosity is a really interesting idea. I'm really mulling that over, because
this is obviously a new concept for you.
It's brand new. You're opening my mind. In the Taiwanese culture, you never show up at anybody's house empty-handed. So I'm very used to people showing up with, like, crates of fruit at our front door growing up. Like, not just a little bag, like a whole box of 64 mandarins imported from Taiwan. So that's normal. We trade boxes of fruit as a normal thing. So I've never seen it as oppressive generosity. I've always grown up thinking, this is normal. This is what we do. So I'm wondering about that. So I think if you don't come from that kind of overly generous culture, there might be that edge of oppressiveness, but I have only ever really seen it come from a really, really sincere place. Not to say that over the top, like when people are wrestling each other to shove bills in their back pockets, you do have to wonder about, come on, just let them pay, or, you know, just let it go. But yeah, so I'm thinking about this oppressive generosity. It's a very interesting concept.
Might also need to just start boasting a little bit more. Maybe they've got the idea that maybe you can't afford this. So if you just drop little, just start talking about your stock portfolio, just slip little hints in the conversation, maybe just to make them aware that everything's okay, just in case that's the issue.
All right. But, so, summarize for us your best recommendation then for Graham. Beverly?
Up your ante, up your game, call ahead, pay, but also ask... Also, verbalize it. Just be like, "Hey, let me get this one for once."
All right, and Mark,
yeah. Body block.
Yeah, vouchers. All right, and then I am actually a great believer in frank, honest discussion. If you really do value the friendship and you think it's strong enough, I think it's always worth talking these things through. My strongest friendships are the ones where, when there things go slightly off track, we just, you know, notify the other one, hey, you know what, when you do that, it's kind of annoying. And it's always, in my case, been better in the long run. That said, please give me their number.
You want to go out to dinner with them?
I would like to go out to dinner with them.
All right. Well, Graham, thank you for sharing the problem of the overly generous friends as your modern dilemma. Always keen and curious, too, to hear of a quandary that you might be facing. You know, if you found yourself in an awkward or perplexing situation where you're not sure what to do or what the right thing to do is, you can email your modern dilemma to lifematters@abc.net.au. Mark Humphreys is a satirist and comedian with The Feed on SBS Viceland. He's featuring in a special end-of-year episode that's coming up next Thursday night. It's called Privatise Now. Don't miss it. And Beverly Wang is the presenter of the podcast It's Not a Race. Season 2 has just launched.
Go get it!
You can get that on the ABC Listen app. Beverly and Mark, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
And you're listening to Life Matters.